the money fragrance?
My money fragrance is my special occasion fragrance because it's like an aspirational type of feeling. You know, like you walk into a place and you want people to know, like, Bruce Fleshen House craze.
Have you ever not done business with someone because of the smell that they have on?
I'm going to be reviewing Exalté by Fumi Monet.
And this is a fragrance that she named. I think she said when, as a teenager, she has always dreamed of having her own fragrance.
Exalté. Hello, Zwelly. Hello, Zwelly. It's really, really good.
Sauvage, which has become my notorious red flag fragrance for men. It's just the easiest fragrance that you can go into any store and buy. And in my opinion, I just think to myself, there was no time put into something that you plan to wear every day.
Talk to us a little bit more, kind of like the science of fragrance.
So the really interesting thing about fragrance is that...
Today we have Fumi Monet, founder and creative director of Exalté Perfume. We're going to talk about not only her journey to launching her brand, going viral on social media, and what it means to build a community, and then also be able to serve that community with a phenomenal product. How do you diversify the fragrance space to become a dominant player and respected player in that space? And then also, when you're raising money and you're closing business deals, the importance of a fragrance wardrobe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Tell us, like, who you were leading up to becoming who you are right now.
Oh my gosh, what a journey. I started creating content 5 years ago. And when I started creating content, I was coming from like a really dark place in my life where I wanted to come online and share things that brought me joy every single day. I'm actually a licensed therapist, so that's kind of what shaped my background with how I approach creating content and building community online as well. And I realized that a big part of what I encourage people to do when they go through therapy is finding consistent things that they can do with self-care. And that looks so different for everybody. For some people, it's going for a walk. For some people, it might be, you know, cleaning your apartment or taking a nice bath. But for myself, it's always been things that relate to like beauty. So skincare, fragrance, doing makeup, and sharing pieces of those things from just a regular person's point of view online with people that I just figured are my next door neighbors. You know, people that are just people that I can cross paths with any single day. I'm not a professional per se, like maybe a makeup artist or an esthetician or a chemist, but you know, I know how to utilize things that help people to feel like, okay, this is something I can do every single day. So that's kind of my approach with how I started creating content. And what I encourage people to do is finding the things that suit their taste that they can do every day. Mm-hmm.
How did you get comfortable creating content? Because a lot of entrepreneurs, I think there people fall into a lot of lanes, right? And some people are just natural. I get it. I understand the utility of it. I'm going to use it. I see it as a customer acquisition strategy, all of that. And then you have other people that see it mostly from like a social standpoint, sharing of just information. And then you have the other people that are like deathly afraid of it. And so how did you become much more comfortable with delivering and creating content?
One thing I always encourage people to do is figure out that thing that you're really good at and lean into it. There are some people that are amazing at creating visually stunning content. So they can create content that really immerses you and makes you feel like you walked away from like the Sundance Film Festival, you know, and they're doing it from their iPhones. And then there's people that are like personalities, you know, they're able to entertain you. And then there's this new authentic part of social media that people are really into now, that it feels like you're on a FaceTime call with your friend, and this person could live in like Zanzibar, or they could live in Brazil, or they could live in Taiwan, you know, they can live anywhere. And all you have to do is pick up your phone to be able to tap in and connect with this person. And you realize maybe we're not that different. Like maybe I'm 22 years old, but this 33-year-old girl from Nigeria uses the same skincare that I use, or we like the same type of perfume. And so it just kind of builds this camaraderie. And I feel like for myself, like that was what I wanted to lean more into, because I realized maybe I'm not the most technically efficient person. Like I'm not creating a Academy Award winning content, but I've really leaned into community instead. And I've realized, like, when your community has your back and they really are invested in your success, the sky's the limit as far as where you can go.
Nice. So therapy, beauty, and fragrance. One, given your background, talk to us a little bit more, maybe about kind of like the science of fragrance, right? Because of the emotion, the psychological aspects of it. Can you just share a little bit more about that?
So the really interesting thing about fragrance is that scent is tied so much to memories and feelings, like emotions that we experience every single day. So I always give this example about there's a fragrance that a guy I used to date purchased for me, and the relationship ended terribly. But now every time I smell that perfume, I just think about, gosh, why would he buy this for me? Like, this is not something I would ever wear. Like, that should have been the red flag that this relationship was never going to work. But it's just kind of like one of those things where you think about how fragrance reminds you of people and it reminds you of times in your life. And fragrance is not something like that I feel like you have to save for a special occasion. It can be something that you do daily to uplift your feelings. Like maybe lavender, for example, which has very calming properties, is something that you want to wear when you're feeling, maybe you wake up feeling a little stressed. Maybe, you know, I have a lot going on today and this lavender and this fragrance is going to give me a whiff and calm me down. Or maybe you want something a little bit more bold that's going to get you through an interview and make you feel very confident. Or maybe you have a date coming up and you want to feel sexy and alluring. You know, you might pick up a fragrance that really taps into that side of you, and you're able to kind of elevate your mood and your feelings and how you move into all of those situations a little bit differently.
Yeah, so it's definitely tied to confidence, right? And then depending on like the different notes and things like that, it exudes different feelings and emotions. And so talk to us a little bit more about what someone can do, even from a business standpoint, right? Of kind of maybe creating like a fragrance wardrobe in a sense for the different things that they have to do along the journey of building and running a company.
I think that if you're someone that's wanting to build like just a standard fragrance wardrobe that's going to fit multiple occasions in your life, I think you really just need five, right? I call it like the starting five, which is like a fragrance that you can wear every day. It's kind of light and fresh. You can throw it on and wear it to the office. You can throw it on and run errands. You might want to have a fragrance that you reserve for maybe special occasions. So this fragrance might be a little bit more, maybe it's a pricier perfume. Maybe it's something that you get at like a Neiman Marcus or Saks versus like Ulta. And it might be a little bit more bold. It might be a little bit more exotic, but it's something that you put on that definitely gives you that special occasion type of feeling. You might have a fragrance that you maybe wear for going out with your friends. So maybe I have dinner tonight and I don't want to wear the fragrance I wear to the office, but I don't want to wear my special occasion fragrance. So you have the, what I call going out fragrance. You could also have a date night fragrance. Now, the date night fragrance is not the fragrance that you wear to church. You know, to church, I might wear the office fragrance. It's a little lighter. You know, you don't want to be slapping people in the face while you're trying to hear the word, you know, but it's not going to be maybe as sultry as the fragrance you'd want on a date. And then, like I said, you have your special occasion fragrance. And all of those can be sourced from different places, but they're all going to be tied to, you know, your lifestyle and your taste. So I think it's really important that, you know, if you can keep those five things in mind, then you can create a wardrobe that's going to be really unique to you.
Which one is like, I'm in my bag, I'm fundraising, where's the money fragrance?
Ooh, that's my special occasion fragrance. My money fragrance is my special occasion fragrance because it's like an aspirational type of feeling. You know, like you walk into a place and you want people to know, like, this person has taste. This person has their stuff together. This person is going places. I better keep my eye on them. And that is what I love about that type of fragrance. You know, the vibe.
What I've also heard recently, and I feel like it may have been with your content, about layering fragrance, right? Is that something that's new, or why is it important in this moment to be thinking about how you layer different fragrances? And or should you or should you not?
Layering is definitely not like a new concept. I think it's more so something that people are really paying attention to. I think a lot of times you might hear it as people saying like they like to mix their perfumes. So you'll hear people say like, I always mix these, you know, two perfumes or three perfumes when I put them on. But I think it's, I kind of consider it a way to be kind of artistic with how you do, with how you approach your scent journey. Not everybody is going to be able to pick up, you know, a brush and approach, you know, an easel and make a work of art. But you could, you know, figure out how a few different scent profiles give you something totally different. Like you can be a mixologist without having to have, you know, the titles or the training behind it and create something really unique and special for yourself. So it's about your comfort in trying something different, but also, you know, being able to experiment. Like, and that's what I encourage people to do is experiment with different scent profiles, sweet and woody, maybe floral and sweet or fresh and woody, and see what you come up with that is going to give you something totally different.
Have you ever, I'm being messy, have you ever not done business with someone or not engaged in a relationship because of the smell that they had on? And not like body odor, but like, was it ever a moment where like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, or this is not going to end well or start well because of the fragrance that they had on walking into the room?
I've made a joke sometimes about dating and how people select perfumes, because I am a very particular person when it comes to like how I select things for myself. Like I don't just walk into a store and just say, okay, these are the most popular sheets in the store, so I'm just going to buy it because it's popular. Like I like to feel the sheets and pick up, you know, a set of sheets that I'm going to be comfortable laying on every night. And I see the same thing with fragrance and how people will go in and the salespeople will say, well, this Victor and Rolf Flower Bomb is our best-selling fragrance. And then that's what people buy. They just walk out with it. And I thought to myself, you know, with Sauvage, which has become my notorious, like, red flag fragrance for men, it's just the easiest fragrance that you can go into any store and buy. And in my opinion, I just think to myself, there was no time put into something that you plan to wear every day. Now, maybe you did smell it and like it. However, likely they just told you it was popular and you said, okay.
No, So one, thank you for sharing that. Hopefully I wasn't being like, but then two, the reason I'm asking you that is because when we're talking about entrepreneurs, when we're talking about career professionals, and especially, you know, from diverse backgrounds, many of us are in rooms of proximity to power and wealth, sometimes for the very first time. And or are trying to figure out, like, how do you navigate that? How do you fit into the room, right? Then how do you also broker your own power and confidence in the room so that you get out of it what you need to or you contribute? And I think when we think about showcasing that, or sometimes how wealth is understated, it's not the flashy logos all over the place, which I think people are aware of now. It's the watch, right? It's the shoes. It's definitely the confidence, but it's also the fragrance that someone walks in with, right? That tells a story about who they are, what they can do, if they're powerful or not, if they have access. Like, there's a lot of things that are understated in things like what I just mentioned, but then definitely around fragrance. And so that's why I was asking you that, because I want people to get a better understanding of, yes, it's luxury on the high end. There's a self-care component to that as well. But there's also like a power dynamic in the rooms that you ultimately want deals out of, that fragrance plays a role or doesn't play a role?
It definitely does. You know, I think one of the best smelling places I've ever visited was when I went to Dubai, and it seemed like everywhere I went, people just smelled so good. I realized, wow, these people truly take this to be like a lifestyle, you know, because your impression and what you remember about someone a lot of times can be tied to like how they smelled when you met them. I mean, have you ever smelled someone that has bad breath? Like the one time that they have bad breath is what you're always going to remember. It doesn't matter the 10 other times their breath didn't stink. You remember, oh, that's the person with stinky breath. And it's the same way with someone that's wearing bad cologne. Like someone that's just doused themselves in a cheap cologne or aftershave is always going to be known as Mr. Cheap Cologne. Mm-hmm. Even if the next week he has on a $400 cologne, he probably still doused himself in it. So either way, he's the guy that wears too much cologne. So I think that the biggest thing that you can take away from this is about paying attention to the details in how you present yourself. And fragrance is included. It's like wearing a very nice suit, but it's not tailored. It's like, yeah, that suit costs $3,000, but it doesn't fit.
Right.
You know, or going somewhere and your nails aren't done. You know, you're ungroomed. Things like that are the little details that people can sometimes miss, and that oftentimes people that are very particular or very detail oriented, they'll pick up on that and immediately could exclude you from this person that doesn't belong here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oof. She's like, you just dropped some nuggets, by the way.
We're I say this as a Virgo who pays attention to a lot of things.
But people do, right? And I think oftentimes when you're meeting someone for the first time, you're immediately trying to build that know, like, and trust. And if any one of those three things are absent, the deal doesn't happen, because people only do business with people they know, they like, or they trust. And when you're talking about fragrance and the details that people pick up on, oftentimes they're looking for, is there something that's incongruent with what they're saying or pitching? Oftentimes, right? And sometimes it's the fragrance, it's the nails, it's the details, it's the, like, there's so many different things that are oftentimes unspoken that lead to something happening or not happening and the nuances of that. And so that's really, really helpful. Thank you for sharing that.
I'm glad it is helpful, because I really encourage people to pay attention to these types of things. I get asked about dating a lot. And when I mention dating, I'm also 33, I talk about how I don't look at the big scope of the big picture. Like, I try to pay attention to the smaller details, because a lot of times those are the things that are going to fill in the gaps with what someone is not telling you. So it's kind of like if someone has poor body odor and they are wearing a ton of cologne. Like, yeah, you're wearing a ton of cologne, but you're masking it with your poor body odor. Like, it's not going to cover that up because it's very obvious. And so I think, you know, all of those things really, it comes together. It's so incredible how much you can tell about somebody sometimes when you do smell their cologne.
Mm, okay. Talk to us, let's pivot just a little bit. Talk to us a little bit more about, like, the business side of what you're doing, right? Like, as you've built a really massive and respective personal brand in this space, but then I think just across the globe of what you're doing and in the influencer space, can you share a little bit more about, like, the business side of what you're doing? Because it's not all just, like, looking cute and smelling cute. Like, there's a business utility to what you're doing. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
This is my favorite topic. Like, this is my Roman Empire. I could talk about it all day. I am a Black woman, and the luxury fragrance space is very much still a European-dominated arena. You know, when you see the top fragrance houses that are sold in places like Neiman Marcus, Saks, Nordstrom, even at Sephora, they are all owned by white men. Even though specifically, like, women specifically spend so much money on perfume, Black women, I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry. Like, we pour so much money. I think the last time I saw the news, I read something in 2021 that said that Black people contribute, like, we spend the most dollars in fragrance, like, especially considering what percentage of the population are we, but we contribute the most money into perfume. And I realized we are people that love smelling good. We take great pride in hygiene, smelling good, and feeling like $1 million, you know, from the time we were very young. You know, you're getting up and going to Sunday service and you are in your best Sunday clothing. Your mom is putting on her best cologne, you know, and that's what we're raised thinking about. And we become adults and we do the same thing. I realized that there's just not enough representation as far as how brands partner with and elevate Black-owned brands and Black creators in the space. When I entered the space, the top perfume content creators were all, like, white people. These are white men, white women. And when I looked at their pages, I said, they're not really doing anything different. Like, they're all talking about the same brands. And people are going out and going crazy, and they're buying them. I started following the Black content creators, and I realized these people, we're given something different. You know, you can't take away the razzle dazzle in how we approach content, how we approach even applying fragrance. We talk about hygiene. We talk about how to layer fragrances in a way, how to pick things that are going to be flattering and complimentary in a way that's so unique. And so for myself, like, I thought about who my audience is, and I had to be okay with also knowing I'm not going to have, let me not say that, because I don't want to put a cap on myself. I may not reach an audience at the same pace as my white peers in this space, but I'm reaching an audience that is not spoken to directly. And that's what my focus was on, was Black women who go into these stores and they know they have a bag to spend. you know, and also people that have a budget and they still want to smell bomb. Like, where can I go with $50 that's actually going to smell really, really good? Not some cheap stuff. I do want something that's still going to make me feel good. How can I do that in a way that doesn't talk down or belittle that person either, which I found sometimes content can do. And so I approach content the way I approach therapy. Everybody comes in at the same advantage, whether you have $500 or you have $50. My goal is to help you find a way, find that thing that's going to make you feel good.
What has been most surprising to you as you've built community with your platform?
What is shocking to me is how many times people will tell me, some outside people will tell me, sometimes the recommendations you give are too expensive. Maybe you can only recommend stuff at Bath & Body Works or, you know, like less expensive stuff. And I've realized, like, the people that, and anytime I do that, it's always Black women that are like, yeah, I'm going to Neiman Marcus this weekend. I drive up to the city like once a month. I don't want to know what I can get at Ulta. Ulta is in my city. I have Ulta down the street. I want to know this high-end thing I can get for my anniversary, or I have a date coming up, or I just got a promotion, Fumi. What is something that's going to make me feel like I'm the boss, you know? And I've realized that you don't have to shrink yourself because of what people think you should do to fit an audience they think that you deserve. And I've realized that sometimes people think you deserve an audience that can only afford $50. But what I've realized is I have an audience that they're dropping $2,000-$3,000 when they shop. And I need to make sure I'm not shrinking myself and my taste because of what other people think I should be talking about or recommending.
Don't miss your chance to win $1 million. Applications for the 2024 Black Ambition Prize Competition are now open. Are you building a high-growth business in tech, healthcare, AI, media entertainment, or consumer goods and services? If so, we'd like to help you scale. Apply for a chance to win capital, coaching, and access to an amazing community of diverse innovators at blackambitionprize.com. How did you get to that point, though, right? Because I think sometimes, you know, there's what the old saying, the customer's always right, right? Or the community person is always right. Or the follower's always right. How do you get to that point where you can discern between, all right, this is someone I should listen to, or like I fully understand who I'm building this for, who I'm communicating to, and I can ignore this? Because sometimes it can be a really fine line.
It is. And sometimes it's just noise. That's what I had to tell myself at some point, that some things are noise that are thrown in your way to distract you from your larger goals down the line. When I first launched my fragrance, we launched a bigger size. So we relaunched a smaller size, but we launched a big size bottle that was 100 mLs. This is the standard large bottle that you can buy at any department store. We personally went through one of the top perfumers in the industry to make the fragrance. He's responsible for some of the most popular niche fragrances that a lot of people own. The Dior's, the Francis Kirk Gion's, like, he's working in that same capacity. We manufactured everything in France. And it was also an X-rate, which means it has a higher perfume concentration. I knew how much money we spent into this project. And in my team's opinion, our perfume was priced fairly at market price. And when we launched, oh my gosh, there were so many people that said, this is so expensive. Who do you think you are? You are not Gucci. You are not Francis Kirk Gion. You're not Baccarat Rouge 550. Like, why would you launch a perfume this expensive? And it did start to get in my head that, well, you know, maybe I was too ambitious with this type of project. But then I remembered about a month and a half into my journey with launching this fragrance, I met Mr. Parfums de Marly, the guy that that owns the brand that I'm sure most people are very familiar with if you love fragrance. These perfumes are starting at $300. And he smelled my fragrance and said, oh my gosh, not me having competition. He said, are you sold in this store? I said, not yet. He said, okay, I'm just making sure. He said, no, this is so amazing. Like, this is a beautiful fragrance. He congratulated me and said, I'm looking forward to seeing what else you do. And I thought to myself, this man sees me as a peer and not as someone like that he would look down on, like, oh, nice job. Like, no, you truly see me as someone who's creating a product that's comparable to your own. And no one has ever questioned Mr. Parfums de Marly from France about the price of his products. When I had that meeting, it was like a light just went off for me that even though your audience you won't reach everybody, but sometimes you don't have to reach everybody. Mercedes-Benz understands that the people they market to are the people that are going to buy Mercedes-Benz. And the people that want to buy Hyundai are going to buy Hyundai. And both places are going to get you point A to point B. Yeah. But each market understands who their audience is, and they are fine with it.
What does success look like for you with your brand?
Man, that's a really interesting question, because I think about it so much. It really shapeshifts. But ultimately, what it comes down to is inclusion. And seeing like the bigger picture with how Black people can find a way into the space, whether it is with like a budget brand. It could be a fragrance line that's sold at Target. It could be a fragrance line that's sold in the most exclusive, you know, boutiques at Harrods, you know. But how is it that we can be in these spaces and have the same level of respect as our peers, and kind of breaking through that ceiling of this idea that only European fragrance brands, you know, are to be respected. It always comes down to inclusion for me. Mm-hmm.
Are there any personal or like financial markers to you that say like, now I know I'm successful?
Right now, I'm still in the very early stages of my career as, you know, with my fragrance. I will say that when we sold out, we sold out within about 6 months of launching. And it's so funny, because I was talking to my business partner. I said, imagine if we lowered the price. We could have listened to these people and lowered the price. But guess what? The perfume still sold out. The perfume still got amazing press. The perfume still has amazing reviews online. And we didn't have to cheapen our ingredients, you know, downgrade our packaging, any of that, compromise any of the goals that we had into going into this project in order to appease people that were never going to buy it. These people weren't going to buy it whether we sold it at $250 or $25. So the people that are going to appreciate a quality product are the people that purchased it, and they did. And so we ended up relaunching in a smaller size to accompany the larger size bottle that we'd sold in initially. And it's still doing very well. It's selling consistently. We're picking up new audiences every day. And there's so many people that are like, I've never bought a nice perfume for myself. This was the first time I bought something really nice. And I mean, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. How did you tune? Martha Beck calls this like your body compass, right? And so that your body tells you or best informs you on how to make the best decision moving forward. And like many of us have never calibrated our body, but humans make between 30 to 40,000 decisions every single day, and they've never calibrated it. And so oftentimes, especially as a business owners, it's hard to move forward, or you end up in this like analysis paralysis, or like you said, someone said like you should lower the price, and you're like, no, we're not going to lower the price. We're going to like, you know, hold the line and like bet on ourselves, right? Or bet on this decision as being the best decision. How did you calibrate like your body, your mind to help you make those kind of definitive decisions moving forward, whether you knew if it was going to pay off or not?
I think the most important lesson I can teach people or like encourage people to think about is to understand that no one else has to see your vision but yourself. You can often spend so much time having this dream or this vision of what you want to do in life, and you spend so much time convincing other people around you to believe in you too, that you don't even work towards that thing that you're trying to do. It's a total distraction. And anytime I've been in a position where I have an idea about something and I share that idea and the other people around me might not get it, or they think, well, maybe you should wait. That's when I step back and say, you know what? Whether or not you believe or have an intention to help me get there, I'm going to do every single thing in my power to still get this recipe cooking, you know? And I have even had that recently where, you know, I had an idea about a project I wanted to work on. And when I talked to people that I thought could help me with it, they said, you're just not there yet. You don't have 1 million followers. Like other people have 15 million followers. So those are the people we're focusing on with launching projects. And I thought to myself, wow, like maybe they're right. Those people have a way larger audience than me. So maybe I just need to keep working on building my community. And then not even a week later, I met someone who has like 1,000 followers on social media. And she's like, I'm having a meeting with Sephora to launch a brand. I was like, wait a minute. Sephora's taking your calls. Sephora's taking calls. So I say all this to say, I realized that these people don't see my vision, so they don't have the capacity to help me in my journey. But it just reinforced the idea that I know that what I want to do is possible. Now I just got to keep going at it. And that is how I kind of turn my body back to the North Star. The North Star is always going to be your dream. And anything that gets in the way, you just have to sometimes move around it and understand, like, you don't see it now, and eventually you will. And they do. They always see it eventually. But if you can't see it now, that's okay. I'm going to keep going. And maybe somewhere along the way, I will find somebody, an investor or, you know, an advisor or somebody that can help me to continue on my journey and strengthen that process. But in the meantime, you just have to, you know, block out the noise.
Tell us about your most ambitious moment along this journey. Or like a moment where you just bet the house. I'm just figuratively saying this, like, bet the house, cash in on 401k. Like, it was like do or die, must or bust, like this better work. Tell us about one of those moments.
This was when I launched my fragrance. So when I launched my fragrance, I was approached like 3 years ago to do a collaboration with another brand. And like, once again, I want to reiterate, I don't have the largest audience. You know, these people weren't meeting me thinking Fumi's going to sell to millions of people that follow her. They actually approached me because they said, we love your taste. You have taste. And we have the resources to actually work with the best in the industry to create something. We would love for you to kind of be almost like our guinea pig. Like, we want to do more of this. We want to test the market to see how well this is going to do. And I said, okay. So I came on as like a creative director for this project. And it's once again, you know, this idea that when you are launching something at this level, especially when people know this is something that she would like to do, they expect maybe she'll do like a body spray, you know, she'll give us a $25 product. And when they came back and said, okay, after we've run all the numbers, we're gonna have to sell it at $250. I was like, Lord, these people are got to eat me up online. I know my comments are gonna be getting chewed up every day. And they were. But more than the people that were protesting, there were people that were saying, I'm going to support you. I'm going to buy this. I bought five of these. I bought three. I wore this and I sent the link to my line sister, loved it on me. So she sent it to the whole group chat. And I realized that I'm risking my reputation online right now. But once again, I have to trust that the people that are going to appreciate this type of product are the people that will find it. And that positivity will be louder than the rest of the noise.
Nice. I love it. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. So our founder, Pharrell, when he did his LV like show in Paris a few months ago, I was there and there was a woman who had a conversation. Said this thing to me that stuck with me. She was just about the show. She was just like, this is what it looks like when you have the budget to match your imagination. And I thought, I was like, dang, that's dope. I'm gonna write that down. I'm gonna give her credit the second time, am I still, right? And so what would your brand look like if you had the budget to match your imagination?
I will tell you my dream. The first time I visited the Parfum Parlor at Harrods, it's the top floor where they have their most exclusive boutiques. And these are the brands that are very exclusive and they have a very particular clientele. And I remember this was like a couple months after I was getting, you know, some heat about your fragrance is too expensive. Nobody would buy that. There was one particular brand that was sold in the boutique that I will never forget. The brand was called Henri Jacques. And they are a French perfume house that kind of originated in the Middle East. And I remember when I was talking to the person that worked there, he said, our main clientele started off as Arab royalty, oil and gas, Arab royalty. We exclusively cater to creating custom fragrances for them. And their custom fragrances started at like $18,000. And he said up to $32,000. And I thought to myself, this is where you started, $18,000. And these people didn't question it because they recognize this as something that we want to have. And now you're at Harrods. Now, you know, they have fragrances that are a little bit more accessible, $500, you know, but they understood, like, this is who our clientele is. Our clientele is not people using coupons at JCPenney, and that's okay. You know, you cannot reach everybody. But in that particular moment, I just thought to myself, this is incredible. Like, I love this for you. And I hope that someday I can create an experience like that and work with amazing Black perfumers and work with the most rare perfume ingredients and be able to package a luxury experience that's very unique to my heritage, because that was the one thing that was missing out of the 20 or so brands represented, Chanel, Dior, Xerjoff, Henri Jacques. There was not a single Black-owned brand. I said, now I know African people are wearing perfume. Some of these people have 50 perfumes in their collection. They've been smelling good their whole life. Yeah. Where are we? And we're spending money. Where are we here? In London? Where are we? And that was the minute that I told myself, I have to just block out the noise from now on, because clearly they're worldwide now. They said they just opened up a boutique in Beverly Hills.
Yeah. So Fumi with a budget to match imagination is a $20,000 perfume in the marketplace. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know if it'll be $20,000, but listen, there's so much wealth in Africa.
Of course.
In the continent. And these people are spending so much money. Like the budget is there. And I think, you know, ideally I would love to create a luxury line that's, you know, like I said, showcasing rare and exotic ingredients, working with the best talent with Black perfumers and chemists, but also to understand, like, you know, there's balance. Like, I just want to do both. I want to have a luxury line at Harrods. I also want to have a line of fragrances at Target. Like, yes. I love it. It's balance.
I love it. Tell everyone where they can find you and continue to follow your journey.
So my name is Fumi Monet, and I'm Fumi Monet on all platforms, because I do like to keep it easy for people to find me. If you find me as Fumi Monet anywhere, it's probably me. And I am on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Pinterest. And I have my own fragrance as well. It's called Exalté Parfum. And it is available at BellaAura.com. We are still selling worldwide. We do ship worldwide. There's no country that we can't ship to. And if your country's not listed on the website, send us a DM and we will find a way to get it to you.
Nice. Have you smelled it? I haven't, but I need to.
I'd love for you to experience the Exalté experience.
Yes. Okay. Is there a science to? Oh, okay.
I always say just give it a little, give it
just
a little spray
here,
a little
or
spray, yeah.
Is this the best place where it mixes with your body oil? Because I was told
I like my wrist, because if you're someone who's an active, like, you know, talker, you're gonna get whiffs of it throughout the day.
Oh, this smells good. And how much does it change based off of people's body oils?
This is the interesting thing. Based on the person wearing it, I've heard so many people experience the notes in this differently. There are times when the fragrance first came out, I thought to myself, did I pick the right one? Because I was picking up so much jasmine and orange blossom. And I thought, this was supposed to be a rose centered fragrance. But then like a week later, I put it on again. I'm like, oh, that's the rose that I wanted. Like, it's so different for everybody. Some people get a lot of the sweetness and the vanilla and the amber. Some people get a lot more of the freshness, that lemon and the pink pepper. So it changes for people. But I've noticed the biggest thing is that generally people love it. Like, it's the feedback has all been, this smells bougie. This smells, makes me smell really good. I get so many compliments when I wear this. Really good. And I'm proud more than anything else that I was able to work with some of the best talent in the industry to create it. So
nice. I love it. Thank you.
And
it smells amazing. Well. Girl, what you keep pulling out from that?
I wanted to give you your own bottle.
Thank you. I appreciate
to give you your
that.
Own bottle,
oh,
so you
that's
can take
amazing.
It home and put it on and feel good.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was so amazing to be here. And
Ms. Monet, thank you, everyone. Give a round of applause.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Heineken is proud to support Black Ambition and helping to unlock opportunities for its participating founders.